Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Put your hands together and welcome Pastor Hayo Jeje of the Prophetic Streams Lagos. Hallelujah. The presiding bishop of Prophetic Streams.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, everybody. You can sit down. God bless you. Amen. I want to say thank you for having me, sir. And I've been contemplating one thing. I know it's what can happen, but because of this thing that I've done to myself, it may not really happen. I wanted to take your shirt away, but I now remembered my tummy. I said, oh my God. But this is one of the most beautiful shirts I've seen in recent times. It was almost making me to miss the message. Hallelujah. I so love the shirt, sir. It's a beautiful one. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for having me, our mommies. Thank you for having me. I'm just wondering, I thought Pastor would give me direction for today's teaching, because I think it really helped me yesterday. It really helped me. And I didn't have to sing. I must tell you the secret. When I'm singing, I'm drawing inspiration. It keeps me ready to teach. But yesterday, I got directions before I came. So there was no need for me to do the things I used to do. And I also got reactions. Good morning. How news flies. My wife almost rebuked me. She said, you were not clear on the tithe thing. You were talking to younger people. You don't talk like that. I was sorry about it. I don't believe tithe is Levitical. It's not a law. We can't have double standards. We can't say we're out of the law and we are still in the law. We have adopted that, and it is fine that the church adopts a means of finance. It's very right. Because by the presbytery authority, we can devise means of administration. Okay? When the Spirit had not come and there were no discernment, when they were going to replace Judas, they casted lots. And it was not out of place. It's just an administrative tool. They voted. That's the meaning. They have to apply some mechanism of replacing which the Lord validated. But the trouble I have with the tithe thing is the way people use it. You say it is Levitical. And so you coerce people and make them not serve God with money. They become legalistic. Their heart is not involved. They do it for fear. I don't want trouble. As I collect money, make I give God. God does not even accept those kinds of offerings. The offerings that comes, God does not need anything. He doesn't need you to finance anything here. He can finance everything himself. But because the earth he has given to the children of men, God seeks partnership with man. And one of the ways of expressing your will to God is in your earning. Your earning is the only singular way of describing your obedience to God. Because there is nothing that captures your life like your earning. Nothing. There is nothing in life that captures your essence like your earning. In fact, your 365 days is measured in what you call salary. I mean,
month by month. And your business, at the end of the day, when you do profit and loss accounts, what you gain is about the expression of your entire labor, your sweat for a whole year. So you can't separate money from this issue. In fact, Jesus says, if you are faithful with the unrighteous mammon, you will have true riches. And true riches, he was talking about the spiritual. So there is a direct link between financing and the spirit. And that's why what the enemy is more interested in today is your finances. And if you really want to know the direction of a man's life, go and check his money, how he spends it. If he sings for you, oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus, with the whole of my heart. He will sing all that. Go and find out if he really loves Jesus. What a man loves reflects in his spending. Money is an amplifier. It helps us to see what you carry in your heart. You remember Daddy told us, sorry, Daddy's not here, so I can say. Immediately God gave him 5 naira. What did he remember first? Was he somebody in need? Was he even God? He said, God, I thank you. I'm getting 5 naira. I have to get another trouser. That is the heartbeat. That's what he had. But to constrain him, that he has the love of God in his heart. When God came and said, I needed the trouser, he didn't have any choice. Didn't have any choice. Some people, their ears would have been blocked. They can't hear God again. There was a time I was in a very serious need. And I went to a church, a Redeemed Church in Lekki. And immediately I finished ministering, this man came straight to the pastor's office with an envelope. I was smiling because I knew it was coming to me. Immediately he gave me the envelope. I said, Lord, I am so grateful. How you always show up and surprise me. Because immediately I opened it, it was in bills of $100. So I was in a hurry to leave that church. Borrow the change straight. Because you know, when you don't have some of these things in your hand, even your love life will not be smooth again. Your wife will be answering you with one word. Yes. Do you have? Yes. You don't have? No. That's how you. But when you begin to hear that, hey, now I have it now. There is, the love is working. And it is something that hoils it, that grieves it. Mommy, am I lying? It's not you. It's not your fault. You are just tensed up. You want to be kissing a woman that is under tension. If he keeps you, we'll bite you a little. And you see, Monahaphrodi, Salah, Tapronesi, I see light coming to you. It's beaming on you. And I'm asking the Lord what it is. And he said, it is for your body. I want to bring your consciousness to the fact that in this very hour, there is a renewal in your body, in your mind. And the Lord said it is necessary to give you strength, to give you health. The Lord wants to give you health. I don't know, but this is what the Lord is showing me. He wants to give you health. He said he wants to bring you back to another height of health and strength. I've not discussed health with you, but this is what the Lord is saying to us. This is the Lord's doing right now. In the midst of this meeting, you are going to be rejuvenated. Everything that is depleted, He will restore. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Am I permitted to communicate this way, sir? So, the money came, and you know, when the man left, you don't want to show that you are a man of God that loves money. You are waiting for everybody not to be around to quickly look at the envelope.
So I quickly said, ah, dollars. Lord, I thank you. Eh? Ah. And the Lord quickly met me and said, before he leaves, call him back. Ah. I said, for what? He said, take that money to his wife. Tell him to take that money to his wife. What is wrong with my own wife? An Igbo man. I won't forget this story in my life. One of the experiences in ministry. I know if I count that money, it should be well over $250. Or maybe 300 plus. So I didn't bother to count. With tears in my heart, I sent for, please, I hope this brother had not left. They said, please call him back. When he came, I said, sir, I appreciate you. But you know I hear God. He said, yes, that I know. You hear God. I said, God just told me this money is for mommy at home. It's for your wife. Ah, is that my wife? My wife doesn't need money. My wife? I said, I don't know. I said, you know that it's easy for me to say, God said I should give it back. But he gave me details. The detail is that you should take it to mommy. I drove home. Very bad. You know, when you are talking about suffering, these are sufferings. It's not meaning, it's not for you to live a life of hardship. Some of you think suffering is when you are under serious, you don't have good clothes anymore. You say, we are suffering for Jesus. Suffering is when you have to trade your will. It always comes with reactions. It will burn you. That is where you learn obedience. By the things you suffer. So that you now become something. When he had learned obedience through the things he suffered, he became. Suffering has a way of taking you to a process of making. You become. You come to sonship. And the suffering we are not talking about is that you are failing in school. Or that you can't get a job. It's lethargic. It's not scriptural. You are stranded. You said it's suffering. Some of you, it's because of your folly. It's not suffering. Suffering is when God has to deprive you. And there will be friction. There will be heat. You want to marry a girl and God says, oh God, you can't marry the girl. I say, God, there's nothing wrong with this girl. And you are already emotionally attached. I was hiring a girl way back. I wanted to marry her. And I went to Joshua's retreat. As we were worshipping the Lord, one by brother started prophesying. There's one of our brother here. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. I said, it's not you. Immediately, you know how I knew it was me? There was reaction in my... Something in me started fighting and struggling. Immediately we left the retreat. I was going to her house. To be able to be sure that she's still intact. Because I love her very much. So when I got to her place, she had a dream at the same time. That I was driving her in a car. And we ran into a very fatal accident. I even killed somebody. Confirmation. I said, oh God, why do you have to do this to me? I don't know. Can I get somebody better than this? But after some time, I said, I will be done. I had to let go. Those are sufferings. They are pains. God will negotiate you out of certain deals. But you know the funny side of it is that by the time you develop trust, you won't find those serious reactions anymore. You begin to see that the end is always better. Let me finish my story. Maybe story will go with my teaching today. When the man got home, carried the money, gave it to the wife. The wife busted into tears. I began to cry. He said, what is it? He said, you gave me money. Honey, I don't know what God has. I've been praying all my life that my husband should not give me the money. The husband said, but you earn more than me. He said, yes. Even if I earn more than you, I still want to spend my husband's money. Is it true, mommy?
Yes,
is it true, mommy? Yes. I got revelation in that one. He said, I see my friends. They go to make their hair and they say, my husband just dropped me to make my hair and has given me 50,000. And here I am. I'm the one that buys everything for myself. The only thing you do is to pay your children. He said, but you know my finances. You earn almost double of what I earn. And you still want me to be putting money down to make your... Is it not wickedness? He said, I like the kind of wickedness. Then he said, this one I even came to give you. I already gave it to a man of God. And the man said, you should go and give money to your wife. And that woman said, that man of God must be a man of God. I want to see him. So they asked to host me in a dinner. And she started thanking me. And she said, the money my husband did not give you, I, Elizabeth, I will give you. So I deprived myself to heal a marriage. As a fruit of obedience. It wasn't fine. It wasn't a good one at all. Because my sight had changed immediately the money came. I had more confidence. There was a way I would talk at home. I didn't even arrive with the dollars. I would have said, what do you guys have there? They know that day has come. What do you guys have there? Said, no, I don't want pandadium. Why should what do you have won then? I said, can't you get spaghetti and make it sweet? I said, this thing you are talking about is money. How much? Excuse me. So I learned something from that. Thank you, Pastor Ogi, for helping us to realize that if this thing don't translate to our day-to-day walk, we are nothing less than people acting drama. Jesus was teaching. I think somewhere in Luke chapter 12. While the myriads of people were gathered together around him, he began to speak to his disciples. He said, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. What is a leaven? Yeast. What does it do? It gives you a size that does not correspond to your weight. When they carry you, you are light. But when they look at you from afar, do not. When you see the time they are putting it into the oven, it's like this. By the time you come out, it's like this. Some believers are like that. Their real weight is this. But there is a do that makes them feel, everybody feel like babake. It's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, the Greek word for hypocrisy, hypocrisis, is also the one for drama. Drama. Acting pastors. They are not really pastors. Have you seen an RMD act as a lawyer? You almost... I entered an aircraft with one of the artists. Popular artists who act wicked roles. The person sitting beside her turned as it. He said, please, do we have free sitting in this aircraft? I can't sit with this woman. But that's not her. She was only acting. The same way some of us are preachers, but we are only acting. Our real self is far from what we claim to be. But what did we do? We have added some dough, some leaven, some yeast. And so with time, what was growing was the yeast. It was not us. We have to come to points where We come to constant reality checks. Judge yourself so that you will not be judged. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I think what led me to this is I'm trying to do some checks around. And the first thing I did was, did I come a bit clear about money now? And about tithing? You see, when somebody said, it is older than the Levitical order. Yes, I agree. Because Abraham paid tithes to Jesus in Melchizedek. And that was an invisible priesthood. And it was not that translated to the Levitical order. The Levitical order was a way of moderating fellowship and community life. So there are regulations on the tithing. There are times they bring it together for communion. They eat it together. So if we want to really do the Levitical order, we can't be doing this nonsense we are doing. There are times you take it to some designated places to eat it. But tithe in our day is an administrative instrument of keeping our finances stable within the community of believers. And if we have adopted that, it is fine. But don't let us bring the burden of legalism on people with it by saying they are cursed with a curse. So the debt there is a window for the enemy to exploit in their lives. So we don't even know those who are truly obedient, because it is out of coercion. They have been coerced to do it, and that's why they do it. A day is coming where you are going to have thoroughly released your life to God, that your finances, after you have given it over to God in tithe, other things can still happen. You are not even mindful. You get it? And if we take it this way, some people will not come and just be attacking us unnecessarily like they do all over Facebook. It's because we didn't give it a proper basis. And may God help us in the name of Jesus. And one of the expressions of the kingdom is actually in the community life. It's actually in the community life. The final phase of the expression of the kingdom is going to be through the instrumentality of the church. The church will come to express the life of God in the earth in such a way that will bring dominion. And if God help me today, I will come in a way that I'm beginning to observe that we are not paying attention to. Okay? Because our sense of dominion is always about a physical might. Are we here? It's always about a physical might. How the church will be dictating who is the governor of Lagos and Ondo State. So let us have a meeting. We'll dictate who is the... Yes, we can influence the nations. But it looks to me as if the church in this early stage of its union with Christ is not one that will be so much accepted. The first phase of the church's rule and reign in the earth is in the midst of persecutions. Amen.
Amen.
Lest I forget, there was this issue. I think it aligns with what I want to teach. There was an issue that somebody raised again. I didn't think, I think I was in about when I was talking about the, and somebody raised it in the night yesterday, that you said something. Is it these quotable quotes? It puts us in some tight corner. I saw one yesterday that somebody said, prayer don't provide, make provision. Prayers bring alignment. Somebody can say, look at that guy, he's a heretic. He doesn't understand what I'm trying to pass across. You understand? I'm not saying that you can't get your needs met in prayer. I'm only saying it is not the prayer that engineers the provision. The provision has always been available. There is a dimension of the charisomia, the things that he has freely given unto us. They are available. They are only there for collection. And God says the path to collection and receiving is to come in the way of prayer. So it is not when you come that the provision is now being arranged for. Prayer will not engineer it. Prayer only what brings you to a place where you can engage God and receive it. So I'm clear. And there was another one, I think in Pastor Benji's letter somewhere, I said that these people's names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So somebody called me and said, Oga, there is no need for me to waste my time. The people already have their names written from the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 18. And it makes sense if he thinks that way. That the Bible says these people, they don't have their names written in the book of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. So God already has names written from the foundation of the world. But where I want to really get you really clear is that the name is not Ayodeji. So if you're thinking on the final day, God will bring roll call and say, Olumide Ojomo presence. Go this way. Ibitayo Jeje presence. Heaven. And others will be shivering. He has not called my name. He has not called my name. Oruko ima doke. These are allegories. And we need to understand. Do you love understanding? When God began to open my eyes to some things, oh my God, I felt I was out of chains and bondage. The name there, okay, let's deal with that one because it's part of the kingdom. I will now use Revelation 18. I will use 5. I will use Luke 17. I have an handful of time. So let's start from Revelation 18. You'll find it very beautiful. Are you with me? Am I boring you already? Okay, let's go. Revelation 18, look for that portion. Okay, should we come from verse 1? This is Babylon. Maybe when I come to Akure, I will now stay on this. I'll come on Sunday, we'll have a fellowship together. I will stay on, because this is the battle of kingdoms. When Satan fell, it was John that God gave the revelation in chapter 12 of how he was chased out. And his contention was against a woman. Immediately landed in her. The contention he had was against a woman with a man-child. And the woman with a man-child, you know, it's not Eve. You see, the womanhood has, some people feel masculinity has so much resemblance with God. I will tell you that womanhood has more resemblance with God. If I start from the Old Testament, I'll be showing you how is El Shaddai, the big breasted. That's masculine. Yeah, I mean, that's feminine. It has more. How the church is described as a woman. In God's thing. How the blessings of Joseph was the blessings of the womb and of the breasts. And it's symbolic. It's not just talking about the chest and the womb. As a matter of fact, for Satan to engage the purpose of God, he has to have a counterpart of that dimension. He has to become a woman. That's what we saw
in Revelation 18 that the world system, the kingdom of darkness, has a representation in the world system that is described as an adultery woman. And when Satan was pushed, you know the story, Revelation chapter 12, and there was a war in heaven, the territories of heaven, there was war, there was rebellion from Satan. And I noticed that God did not fight in the war. You know, God in the heavens is, in his kingdom in the heavens, is the Lord of hosts. And there are dimensions of warfare that the soldiers that are to respond know how to respond. It doesn't concern God. It is the territory of angels. God rules above all. But the reign in the heavens was for those archangels. So when there was rebellion there, it was the archangel Michael that broke out in that warfare. That's where there are certain warfare that you will be expecting God to be the one to fight for you. You are joking. You'll be the one to engage, just like he said. Satan is trying to pollute your mind. And you are saying, the Lord will come and help me. He will take away the thoughts. That's an invasion of the kingdom of darkness. You have to rise to the occasion. Because you are equipped with the power of the Spirit. You'll be the one to stand up. Casting down imaginations. You know, in this kingdom, one thing that you cannot take out is war. It's going to be war all the way until we come to the fullness of our reign. So, Archangel Michael wrestled the fallen angel Lucifer. And the Bible said, they wrestled him to a point that there was no more strength left. And I love that. The same thing. Jesus wrestled him unto a point where he does not have the final note. While he saw the prince of this world, he said, I beheld Satan fallen. Another side, he said, the prince of this world cometh. He findeth not. I've wrestled him out totally. You have not yet resisted unto blood. Striving against. The sin matter is not a matter of, I have grace. I have grace. Even if I fall, I jump up again. And if I fall again, I jump up again. If you have a child that is supposed to be walking and is falling and jumping up again, it's a cripple. It's abnormal. If at all he needs to fall once in a while, jump up and move on. And get over the mistake that made him to fall the first time. So, we saw that in the territories of angels, they wrestled Satan down. And in the territories of man now, God has also equipped us to wrestle him out. Are you here? You are going to be deliberate to chase him out. The rest of the mountain, the Bible says he fought back. It wasn't easy. The Archangel Michael broke out in war against him and wrestled him, the Bible says, and Satan fought back. If you are not yet sit in the kingdom, if you have not engaged Satan. That's why he said, for every word you receive, Satan will make advance. You will respond. Immediately Jesus was baptized by John, then praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Ghost came upon him. And the next thing we saw in the story was that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to engage Satan. He got to a point and said, "Get him out, Satan." The Bible said, and the devil left. Matthew 4:11. Angels came. The season changed. If you are here, you don't know how to trip the season. You are not yet a man of the kingdom. You must trip. I'm not saying Satan will not engage you, but you must deliberately trip the season. Change the season. There is no promise that Satan will not make advances. Advances in your fellowship with God. Someday, Kenneth E. Hagin was the one that told us. He was having a conversation with the Lord Jesus. And as he was having a conversation, then there came a demon. How many of you read that story? Then there came a demon who interrupted. Instead, he was watching God. What else? God would say, "What nonsense, Satan, why will you? Come and get out." Then at some point, he couldn't hear the Lord Jesus anymore. And Jesus was just watching. And Satan kept doing the tantrum until one time he said, "In the name of Jesus, get out!" Then Satan left. Then he asked the Lord, "What happened? You watched the enemy mess me around." He said, "I've given you the authority." He said, "The glory that you have given unto me, I have given unto them." Everything. I have given unto them. So in our territories, we must be ready to engage and war. Okay, let's be back to Revelation 18. That is a portion I need to pick there. Then we begin to go in this journey. "And after these things, I saw another angel." If I'm getting you confused, slow me down. I don't like to speak in ambiguity. "And after these things, I saw another angel came down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And verse 9, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, and it's become the habitation of devils." Okay, no, let me go to chapter 17. Help me with chapter 17. Okay, yeah, chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 18 is far from where I want to come from. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great war that sitteth upon many waters." And you know, many waters is actually nations and people. Okay? So, presently in the earth, there are powers. In fact, he told Jesus, he said, "You see all these things you are looking at?" He took him to a high mountain. He said, "Look around. Look at the New Yorks of this world. And the atmospheres around them." He said, "It has been given unto me." Who gave it to him? Eh? Who will take it back? He said, "It has been given unto me." He said, "Whosoever I want, I now give it." Because the person they handed it over to didn't find the watch. And he handed it over to me. I have it. I've trickishly taken over. And whosoever I like, I give it to. So there are dimensions of rulership in the earth that is darkness. In fact, if you don't know, this present age called earth, it says darkness before light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God said, "Let there be light," and there was no more darkness. Abi? Huh? What happened? And God separated between the light. So it is battle of kingdoms. The earth still has grips of darkness around. That's why there are manipulations everywhere. Those who are supposed to be on horses, they are on the foot. This is the error that proceeds from the rulers. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5, this is the error that proceeds from the rulers. And what? Who are the rulers? They are dark spirits that take over the atmospheres of the world. It is called the world. The world. The world. And it's unfortunate that we survive in the same space. Like Daddy said yesterday, Bishop said, Jesus did not get us saved to take us away. He got us saved to fulfill his purpose, his original intent for the earth, which is for the earth to be under his dominion. And we are supposed to be at the extension of his authority that will bring dominion to the earth. So that's why he's not taking us away. And he will prove the enemy wrong that he's in charge. Say to your neighbor, he will prove the enemy wrong that he is in charge. So we saw the kings of the earth have committed fornication with that woman, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wines of her fornication. And it's a more terrible thing. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. Names are not those things you answer. They are orders of life. The way life is ordered, it's called the onoma. In Greek, it's called a course. A course. A course. C-A-U-S-E. A course. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations. Attractive presence, but offering abominations. And filthiness of her fornication. And verse 5. And upon her forehead, a name is written. That's another curse. It's still onoma. Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of our Lord and abomination of the earth. He has a curse. He has a purpose. He has a destiny. He has a plan to fulfill. That's what names represent. And I'm going to get soon to that place that offends you. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. If I stop on the blood of the saints and martyrs, it will hook me. But I have a place I'm going in my heart. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and 10 horns. And verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, these guys the scripture was talking about are people. Can you back up? That they dwell on the face of the earth and wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They are the ones that belong to the order of this fall. And what is the name
that is not written in the book of life? What is the name that is not in life? The names here are orders of life. They are portfolios that when you enter into, it is not found in God's original program. That's how God will do judgment. Can I communicate this clearer? When you appear, you will appear with your order of life. That's your real name. The name that the mouth of the Lord shall name is your order of life. If it's your order of life, it's not consistent with the portfolio that was from the foundation of the world, you don't have a place in God. I wish somebody had technical. Are you there? Are you there? Can you hear me? Do you have lexicon? Do you? You don't. We should get one. You see all these Greek words that we used to use to bamboozle your mind. They are everywhere in the internet. Eh? We can check it on the internet now. Somebody can just check the lexicon for me. Onoma. For name. Please quickly check it for me. You all have all these devices. It's not meant for preachers to shine. It's meant for all of us to understand. Okay? So check your lexicon if you have one. Name, onoma. Please, can you help us read it, sir? Yeah. Where are you reading it from, sir? I want it from the Greek lexicon. No, I want it from the Greek lexicon. Okay, yes, okay. Okay. The final one that I'm looking for is the cause. The cause or the reason. On this account, because he suffers as a Christian for this reason, a cause. The emphasis of onoma is a cause. A cause, yes, that's what I'm looking for. The final one, that's number four. It's a cause. It's an order of life. Hello? So there are names that God has given from the foundation of the world. When we get saved, we enter into them. So when you are coming, you will be judged according to your name, your order of life. Yes. Are you faithful and consistent with that rank or order that you are called into? That is your representation. It is on your forehead. It is what you carry. It is the life you are living. It is your name. The man Jesus was given a name above every other name. It was onoma. It was the Son of God. It has been from the foundation of the world. It is God's original intent for man. Sonship. That angel, that name is better than that of angels. It's an order of life that is better than the order of the lives of angels. And God did not joke with it. So when you are coming before God in judgment, He is going to view you according to your name. Am I communicating? Yes. And your name is your life, your order of life. Your order of life. There are orders of life that are aberrations. They are not written in the Lamb's book. It's never in the book. It's not in the book. This life, you might have become the biggest inventor. It is not in the order of the foundation of the world. When God was setting his purpose for the earth,
There are others he arranged. And if you live a life that does not conform to any of this order, to any of this name, you will not reign with Christ. Because Christ came from the order of the original intent. And was given a name. He was a son. And there is an order for sons. It's an order of life for sons. So the person that was challenging me that, well, maybe my own name, not even they. It's not the name your daddy gave you. The ownership of this name we are talking about, Onoma, is God. It's defined in his plan. This is how men should live. And we will come into it. Hallelujah. We'll get a new name. We'll desist from the name that does not exist in the Lamb's book. The Lamb's book. The Lamb's book. The book of life has names. All the courses are according to righteousness. All. Many faces, many facets, many dimensions. But all of them that must appear, they must be according to the order that has been from the foundation of the world. And it must be according to the order of the book of life. And your life must come in conformity. That's your name. Hallelujah. And behold, the beast that was and is and not and yet, and the beast that was and is not and yet is. Verse 9. My emphasis, I wanted to draw was verse 8. Now let me go a little further. Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven earths and seven mountains are seven mountains, dimensions. Dimensions in the earth. Mountains are talking about heights. Are talking about spiritual dimensions. Wherein authority is executed. We also have heights. Like we have Zion. The mount of the living God. And there, our daddy has a name. What's the name of our daddy there? He's a judge. When he's in Zion, he sits in judgment. That's when accuser comes. He judges rightly. And you know what happens when your father is the judge? And he's even the writer of the constitution. And that's why when you come to that height, the height of our spiritual, as we are here now, we are in a physical domain. We are also in a spiritual domain. The spirit does not have geographical description. But the only way to express that it is a place of dominion is that it's an elevated height. That's why often you see Jesus will take his disciples to a high mountain. And when he gets to high mountain, things will change. The kind of teaching he will start. In fact, it will transfigure before them. Because it is a type of elevated height in the spirit. Where dominion comes from. Out of Zion shall come forth the law. It says, saviors will arise in Zion. They will judge what? These counter mountains. I don't know if I am communicating. So he was talking about heights. The heads are seven mountains. Whereon the woman sits. I'm still going somewhere. God help me. And there are seven kings. Five are falling. He's talking about orders of dominion in the earth that are anti-God. They are still here. That's why you see somebody will be sitting in one place in Akure and you think it's him. He'll be controlling everything. Everybody will look like Mumu. You'll be wondering. Huh?
What is about this man self? Can't they kill him? And in fact, the thought of killing him will not even come close to anybody's mind. Are you here? Because they are operating from height, from mountains. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, and is not, and even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and went into perdition. That's not where I'm going. And the ten arms which thou sawest, are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings. 1 hour, you can see languages of dominion playing out everywhere from the kingdom of darkness. Playing out. But receive power as king 1 hour with the beast. And verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. But I want you to know where the church will make incursion. That's where I want to go. That's where I'm rushing. Because if I want to begin to explain the times and generations of the rulership of certain kings of darkness, then I'll just be wasting my time. But I want us to see that no matter how thriving the kingdom of darkness is, God is going to bring it down. And the way of bringing it down is through the Lamb. Somebody say the Lamb. That's why I love this, your pictorial description of the kingdom. The Lamb and the Lion. But you see, in the earthly context, the Lamb is stronger than the Lion. And I will tell you why. Yes. Yes, Leo. And I will show you. The lion wears a lamb. In the earthly context. In the expression of the dominion of the kingdom in the earth. And you will see. This shall make war with what? The lion. You see all those kingdoms. How their description is so strong. Horns, authorities. These, that. Kings of the earth on heights. On mountains. When it is time to war, it is the lamb that will fight them, not the lion. And I will tell you why it is the lamb. The unassuming, the lambish nature, which we consider stupid and unassuming, is the strength of God. The humilities of this world, the simplicity he is teaching us, is what will bring a ruin to kingdom of darkness. Our seemingly very weak disposition that we express when they slap us on one cheek and we put another is what will put the kingdom of darkness to ruin. The most important nature in the earth is the lambic nature. That's why he wants to take it away from us. He wants us to be high-minded. He wants us to be babake. When you are babake, you can't be a lamb. In fact, the lamb is most dependent in the flock of a shepherd. Most times, shepherds carry their lamb. Sheep are even stronger than lambs. And when Jesus began to express his lambic nature, he said in John chapter 5 verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. Spiritual maturity. The more you grow, the more dependent you become. Earthly maturity. The more you grow, the more independent you become. The lambic nature makes you submit more. You have no power of your own. Everything about you is derived. You feel a sense of security only because of the presence of the shepherd. So this is where we are going to bring a ruin to the rulership of darkness. It is in character not anointing. The lambish nature, the anointing is expressed in the lion nature. The lambish nature is expressed in the character. And those characters are hard to come by. Go and read them. If you follow everything, it will make us look stupid. They were coming. See, I don't know this kind of Jesus. Eh? Jesus was a lamb. They were going to lead him to slaughter. He didn't have power to resist. He was just obeying God. Even when they need to slaughter him. I don't know how much obedience you can give. If you are a lamb, you can't have a defense. Even the day they want to kill you. It takes somebody else to rescue you. If you want to kill a dog, you have to be very smart. In fact, you have to kill him from afar. Or else, agi again, you know. But a lamb, a little boy will slaughter a lamb. How come? His strength is not in himself. Self-life can't defend him. He's just a lamb. And that's our strength. Brothers, sisters, that's where we are dangerous. We are attracted more to this. But we are more dangerous here. We are more dangerous in meekness. Not pretext. A lamb, they push him away, he's not offended. It is the shepherd that will bring him back to the food and drive others away and say, Ejeko, no, Jehu. He doesn't have the strength to defend himself. They will make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. You don't understand. These are beasts. If we make a pictorial picture of Revelation chapter 18, and you see those beasts with horns coming to fight a lamb, what will you say? Ah, lamb, it's finished. But really, that's where strength is. Is anybody? They shall make one with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. Somebody say with me, the lamb shall. The lambish nature never fails. It shall. When you go to the court of law and you see they use the word shall, it is not negotiable. How many lawyers are here? When you use the word shall, I say this shall is not a negotiable thing. He says, and the lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him, they have the lambic nature. They are faithful in an order. They are called, chosen. Oh my God, this teaching is not interesting because it's not exciting. Yes, I'm coming back to the lion. I'll come to the lion. And the Bible says, and they that are with him are called, chosen, faithful. What makes them called, chosen, and faithful is their adherence to the lambic nature. And listen to me. The lamb is not going to war alone. He's going to war with a company. And that's why he has chosen the church. He said, I will build my church. He said, they will take my yoke. They will learn of me. They will become me. Then we are going to go to battles. And kings will be dethroned. Okay, let me back up to the lion a bit. When there was a negotiation for the job, it was the lion. It was boldness. It was fearlessness. But that one plays out more before God. If you look at Revelation chapter 5, I'll put the two side by side. If you look at Revelation chapter 5, give me Revelation chapter 5 quickly. My God, thank you, Jesus. Help me. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. It's a loaded document for man. Everything there was loaded. That's why man is so important. You know why he was sealed? And there was weeping. Because just about the time that the book will begin to get unfolded, man fell. So it was sealed for a time. But it was loaded. Now, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. Of the Son of Man, that thou visited him. The things that God loaded his mind with is this document. God is mindful of man. That's the two ways of coming into the expression of the glory of God for man. It's first for you to be able to tap the mind of God and also to come into visitations. Seasons of activating the purpose. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visited him? Thou hast crowned him with glory and with honor. But when man fell, you know what happened now? It was a standstill. It was sealed. And verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Because the entire purpose of God for the heaven and the earth is centered on man. And if something goes wrong with man, we are on a standstill. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5. Okay, verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book. The fullness of the purposes of God was sealed. It won't happen. And the man watching it, watching how the film was playing out, he became emotional. That's John. He began to weep. He began to weep. It was God showing him a video of all that has transpired and all that will happen. And he was watching. And when it was as if nobody was there, how many of you have watched a film with suspense? Where is it? You just be watching. And it's as if nothing is was going to happen. And suddenly, that was how God was playing out the film, the video, for John. And he began to weep. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seal, the seven seals thereof. Our lion nature is more expressed in the heavens before the Father. It's a mystery. Am I communicating? It's the opposite. While the lamb was roaring in the earth, the lion was before the throne. I thought it should be the other way around. Yes. I thought the lamb should be the one to just come before the throne and say. But he is actually the lamb. But on the account, you know, of righteousness, is a liar. For the righteous is as bold as a lion. It doesn't have, you know what? What takes our boldness away? It's sin. That was what took our boldness away. These are guys, man, who was living in the dimension of God. God comes in the cool of the evening and says, "How are you?" And he just engages God naturally. He doesn't have to go through protocols. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. Revelation is not what we should tamper with. Because if I begin to ask you questions, questions like questions of the beast. There are beasts in the earth, there are beasts in the heaven. They are not angels. They are beasts. Because God also mentioned angels, living creatures too. Beasts are animal-like. Abi? And they are elders. This community is strong. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. And of the, it took me years. I was asking God, what about the beast? Before the throne. It's all right if we have the beast coming from the waters. But you know, that guy was watching a film. He was seeing creature he had never seen. He could not describe. And in the midst of the elders stood the lamb, as if it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the spirit, the seven spirit of God, sent forth into all the earth. Whenever God is coming into the earth, it comes through the lamb. The spirit is released to the earth through the lamb dimension. And the Son of God engages the Father as a lion. So, there is an order of life that we consider weak, but therein lies strength. Therein lies strength. The servants were set into all the earth, the eyes and the horns. They are going to play a very big role in dominion. The eyes and the horns. Somebody say the eyes and the horns. They are going to play. And the eyes and the horns are sent into the earth. They are sent into the earth. And the activities of the eyes and the horns will be activated among us again. For the purpose of the kingdom. The eyes and the horns sent into all the earth. Verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. You see another very important content of the administration of God's kingdom. Man must be involved. The proof of the fact that salvation is going to begin again and is going to begin for man was the fact that the prayers of the saints authenticate heaven, gives permission. Somebody now asks me, who are the saints? Man actually gave permission for God to invade the earth. That's why I told you earlier that expressing the purposes of God in the earth will not be without prayers. There's a fellowship dimension in prayer. There's an authority dimension in prayer. There's a partnership dimension in prayer. That's where we come into intercession. And the rest. And before everything began here, he saw that the prayers of the saints were presented before God. Hallelujah. Which are the prayers of the saints. But you know, who was it that had prevailed? He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. But by the time the earth program was going to begin, what did he become again? He had become what? Having every one of them arms full of and veil full of the prayers of the saints. Now give me verse 7 again, please, as I round up. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who took it? Verse 6. Who took it? He was a lamb. But before, when he was introduced, what was he? Huh? When you are responding before God in boldness, you are a lion. Immediately you are coming to execute purpose in the earth. You execute as a lamb. If you must carry out the purposes of God in the earth, there is no room for showmanship. There is no room for arrogance. There is no room for display of strength. It is purely, purely unassuming righteousness in the earth. That is the template for our dominion. That is the template for our reign. The only way. The only way. It's not that we are weak. But we are lowly. It's not that we can't fight like others. Peter said, I can't deny you. He was talking from somewhere that Jesus does not relate to. He was talking from his arrogance. And he was sure. Some of you now, you say, Mike, I can't do it. I have broken the bridge. But I don't know where you're talking from. If you are talking from self, I'm not sure. Because the test of faithfulness will come for you to be among the company that will demonstrate the reign. The test of faithfulness will come. And in the day of the test of faithfulness, if your strength cannot carry it, because Peter's strength was in the fact that I will demonstrate everything I can. So when he perceived that the enemy were already coming, he had gotten his sword. Hey, Baba, so come in, if you want left. And immediately those guys said, what are you coming to do here? What do you think you are trying to do? What do you think you are trying to do? He just drew his sword and cut one hair. Jesus said, he dodged. He was going to cut his head. Yes, so he cut his hair. The guy was a bit smart. You can't engage the earth with their nature. You can't win them. You can't beat them. So, when he cut, Jesus said, it's not as if I'm weak. But I'm totally obedient. Even when I have the strength to react, I can command angels now, and you will not see human being again. But I'm obedient. So, he took the hair, glue it back. I said, if you want to help yourself, let's see. Then Peter was watching. When his strength got exhausted, then he said, I don't know again. Don't know what to do again. I tried all I can to see that this man will not be taken. I don't know what he wants me to do again. And he was so down. He was so down. Then God began to teach him later. He said, look, you were once young. And you go everywhere you want. Besides, time is coming. Another person will take you.
That is the lambic nature. Can we get on our feet? He said, and that's where our victory is. We don't depend so much on ourselves. We don't depend on our strength. My strength won't do it. He said, take my yoke. He didn't say come without a yoke. He said, come, take my yoke. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest that is not without a yoke. And I said, take my yoke. The yoke is that you are going to be introduced to another kind of life. It's not the life that men have been used to. It's a life of total obedience. Lambs don't have sense on their own that much. They are gullible, so they are always dependent. And so they get attention. Let me tell you something. If you are very dependent, you get more of heaven's attention. You get presence. You know what we call presence? Because you ask for everything. You ask for guidance in everything. Everything. One of my... Ogie knows the person I'm talking about. We were really worried about him. I have a testimony of hers that I share everywhere. When everybody was getting jobs, she didn't get. And we were getting worried. And I know she was not just trying to be foolish, because I know that she had a good result out of school. And at some point, she has elder ones abroad who taught. I close at exactly 12:30. And she asked elder daddy, she has elders abroad who wanted her to sponsor her for a master's. And while she was praying, the Lord said, no, you have a purpose to still play out here. Everybody said, this girl must be mad. When they even sent to me, somebody said, you need to talk to her. And when I checked her, I saw that she was all right. He said, Pastor, it's okay, don't worry. I'm going to obey God today. I was worried. And I love her so much because she teaches, you know the person I'm talking about, she teaches the way I really think your generation too. She teaches well. She's sound. She's so sound in the word of the Lord. So I know that she wasn't frivolous. She's not just some people that want to, out of being sarcastic, won't want to do well for themselves. And after, another issue came. I think I was somewhere with the mom. And we're talking. I think after one event, the mom said, Pastor, Ede, for your money, is that all you know? Go no, the mom lock on the, talk about that in 30, right? And that occurred to me too. And I stylishly started calling her. I was even trying to figure out brother. Yes. He said, Pastor, it's okay. And she was actually attending a church where there are not too many brothers who have capacity. So I was worried for her. Then one day she shared a vision. They that are led by the Spirit, the most profound definition of sons of God are they that are led by the Spirit. And that's lambic nature. They that are led. Somebody say led. Yes. Led all the way. Our life will be so meaningful if life is ordered according to this order of life. These things we are saying, like potato, it's not easy. Then she now said, I'm not worried, the husband, don't worry. She now showed us a vision. She was in a vision And in that vision, I think she came like, it came like a dream. She was in an hostel. She found herself in an hostel. All her cousins that she knew in life, you know, who are doing well, who are doing well, who have finished school, 2-1, you know. You guys know how to measure life with all those indicators. I had a 2-1, yes. 2-1 in, oh, that's good. 2-1 in petrochemical engineering. You can figure out that in no time she's going to be with Modu, maybe producing, and the tide will be fat coming from her because, you know, it's a 2-1 petrochemical engineering sought after. And she, in the vision, she saw all her cousins and friends who had graduated. They were in the same hostel. When they got to the dormitory, they had already secured their bed space. How many of you went to boarding schools? You know, when you get to boarding school, one thing you fight for is bed space. Maybe, I want the corner. I'm attracted. You quickly take your... By the time she came, there was no corner anymore. Everywhere was filled. And when she got to the division, she asked herself, ah, God, what am I doing here? Everywhere seems to be filled. And she just saw one small space. It doesn't really look like a space. And she perceived that she can just enter there. And she entered that space and started setting it up. She came late though. And by the time she set it up, the whole room said, ah, so there's a space like this. It became the admiration of the entire room. So God was just interpreting her life. It looks like you are late. But because you have followed me, you are going to turn to be the envy of everyone that seems to have gone ahead of you. And so someday, she was just sitting down. She said she saw the newspaper. And the Spirit of God glued her to the newspaper and saw a portion where they were asking for a job. And she filed in for the job. Said, this is the job. And she thought that it was an international organization's job. And by the time she got the job, guess where they took her to? They took her to one remote place in Lagos in an uncompleted building. And she asked God, what is this? After all this, this is where you are leading me to. And God reminded her, the bed space looks like nothing. But in no time. To cut my story short, in 5 years of being in that corner, she's traveled the whole world. She set up centers everywhere in the world. As I'm talking to you, I'm sure she's not around. She's doing stuff. And gradually, attention is turning to her. Some of us, she's now married with kids. The Lord speaks her life. But if she had been under pressure, she wouldn't have been here. She's enjoying the peace. She's allowed the government of Jesus in his life, in her life, and of the increase of his government. There shall be no end. Are we ready for him? Are we ready to give everything over? Because he will not bring victory to the earth without us. And they that are with him, they are called, chosen, and faithful. Their hallmark is faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Consistency in obedience. 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 Can you just respond your own way to God? If you don't receive the kingdom like a child, that is a lambic nature. A child. You must receive it like a child. Helpless. Committed. Totally relying and dependent. Like a child,
Sharing out the beauty of my King. While I mystified, may I be just like a child, sharing out the beauty of my King. May I be just like a child, sharing out the beauty of my King. Send us eyes, and the horns. Send again the eyes and the horns. The eyes and the horns. Send us eyes. Send us authority. I love all the time. Tearing out the beauty of our King. With eyes wide open, wide and open, wide eyes and mystified, may we be just like a child, tearing out the beauty of our King. Wide eyes, wide eyes and mystified. Tearing out the beauty of our King. May we never lose our wonder. 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 Allah shalaba hatalaba. Oh, may we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Never, never, never lose our wonder. Never lose our wonder. Never, 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 never again. Marabasha, 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 change your perspective, oh God. Change your perspective. Let's see the way you see. Let's learn the way you learn. Help walk the way you walk. Jesus, Jesus, give us your life. Give us your nature. Help us to be holy. Help, Lord. Hello, Shatama. Rushaletiala. Halabadabadabo. Ah, anyone who is seeing the kingdom. Spirit of grace and supplication. Yishala payele. Risukutu. Restore fellowship. Restore intimacy. Have us to see you. Winning the highs. To see the way you see. It will change us inwardly. Our response to life will be different. Our approach will be different. Our desires will be different. Our lives will be different. Give us the highs and the horns that you have sent into the earth. That we may exercise dominion, that we may live the life of the kingdom. Give us a fresh perspective. Help us to be holy, and let us behold you. If we behold you, we will be changed. We will be changed from glory to glory. Help us to see you. Lakishaka. I understand the honesty. Help, Lord. Bring a burning desire for you, for this kind of life, for this order of life, for the new name, for the new name, for the new name, a new order of life, a new order, a new course. Help us, Lord. This is your kingdom. This is what you are describing to us. This is how to find your reign. This is how to find your rulership. This is the way. Oh, Spirit of the Lord. We come to agreement with you. That we will follow. We will follow. Take the lead. Take the lead. We will follow. We are deliberate. We are deliberate about following. Take the lead. Speak to us. We will obey. We want to obey. We ask you in the leadership of our lives. We will obey. We will obey. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes. We will obey. Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Holy Spirit. He can handle everything. That's why he's sent here. He's in the heart. He's just waiting for our agreement. He will take the lead. He will stretch your hand. He will take the lead. He will hold your hand. He will take you. He will hold his family. He will take you. He will guide you with his eyes. Break fast. Oh Spirit of the Deep, Taya Tado, you are my fear and your fear. Break forth, oh Spirit, interrupt our life, break out on us, take control, have your way, Holy Spirit. Establish your throne in our lives. Be mighty there. Take over. Bring the government to our life. Harder our life. Harder our cause. Change our life. Break fast, O Spirit of the Deep. Kaya Kados, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O Spirit of the Deep, Kaya Hakadosh, you are mighty. We want your throne, we want it in our hands, we want it in our life, we want your reign, we want your rulership, we want your dominion, we want your government. That's what we want, that's what we want, that's what we want. That's what we want! We want your throne! We want your government! We want your reign! We want your peace! We want your love! Yeah. We want your love! Send me out! Look on our desire! Look on our cry! Look on our permission! Lord, invade our life. Establish your truth. Establish righteousness. Establish righteousness. Establish righteousness. Thank you. Can you express this as the biggest need of your life? Can you place a demand on more of God? More instructions. More requirements. Can you opt out for the yoke? Is that take my yoke? Can you say, Lord, yoke me? Here I am, yoke me. Yuck! I want to be found lost in you. This is my utmost desire. Make me part of the company that will join you in the victory. To subdue nations, to bring out heights of dark rebellions in the heart. Lord, help me not to cry in vain. Thank you for backing my desire with so much grace. Grace for obedience. To look away from unrighteousness. To live your life, your kind of life that does not put self forward, that puts you forward in all things, even above what I desire, that makes your will mine and trades out mine for yours, that I may have the kingdom.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to take this prayer point. He said it was the lamb they warred against. They did not war against the lion. Can you ask the Holy Spirit to begin the work of building the lamb pig character in us? The Lord, he said, it is the one that worketh in us both to will and to do. That he will begin the work of building that character. The character of the lamb. Ask the Lord to begin the building of the character. The resources that you need. The divine resources you need to be like the lamb. The circumstances. The instructions. The demands. That forges a person to become like the lamb. He said they are called. They are chosen. And they are faithful. That which makes a man to adopt the nature of a lamb. The mindset that changes a man. It makes a man not to question the requirements of God. It makes it easy for the man to take the yoke. Ask the Lord, work this in me. Weave this character in me. Produce this in my life. We've heard about character today. It's important that character should go before and should underpin unction. You need the character. The character and the nature of the lamb. It was the lamb that overcame. It is still the lamb that will overcome. That the foolishness of God may be declared to be wiser than men. That the ways of God may be declared to be above the ways of men. He said, my ways are not your ways. Your thoughts are not like my thoughts. Lord, walk in me. Ask, give the Lord permission to invade your life. Give the Lord permission to come. You may be struggling, you may be thinking, if I give him, what will happen to me? Let him know about your fears, but nevertheless, ask him to come. Oh Lord, I give you permission to come into my life. I give you the permission to come. I give you the permission to access me. I give you the permission to tamper with the things you did not plan. I give you the permission to uproot the things you did not plan. I give you the permission to remove the things you did not plan. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Father, we give honor to your name tonight. Our hearts tremble at the word you have sent to us has caused us to see our inadequacies. We have come short of the requirements of heaven. We have come to see that our ways have not been your ways. We have not come into alignment. Our understanding of you has been very, very wrong. Thank you for showing mercy. Thank you for exposing foundations you did not lay. Thank you for exposing the trees you did not plant. Thank you for exposing the truths you did not teach. Thank you for realigning us this morning. Thank you for helping us to know that it is only those that have the nature of the Lamb that will overcome. It's only those that have His nature. We have fooled ourselves thinking that being in church was sufficient. Your servant said, we are only putting heaps together. You never promised you will live in heaps. Or you will live on heaps. You said you will build your church. Father, this is part of your building. We submit ourselves and we bring our necks and we take your yoke and we place it upon our necks in the name of Jesus. Like that horse that you rode, we give our backs to you to ride. We recognize lordship, that you have right to whatever it is that we claim to have. Your word is final. You do not negotiate. Father, we ask that the joy of hearing your word and obeying you will become our life ambition and desire in the name of Jesus. I pray for wisdom. I pray for the spirit of discernment that will not be prey to the deception of the fallen spirits. In the bid to obey you, some have yielded to their promptings. I pray that none of us will be a victim in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your servants that you have used this morning. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom. Thank you, Lord of heaven, for the way you enable them to present these truths. We can only ask for them that mercy will be upon them, that they also will take heed to the things that have come out of their own mouth, that they will not become victims, but that they become victors. We give you glory and honor because we praise together in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.
Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using His servant, whom He has called to equip and build the saint. Now His excellency of speech, by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, enjoyeth the Spirit.